and all once again to Nerds on the Rocks episode 181. We are joined this week by Dan.
Hello.
Who has crossed the border back into the greatest nation in all the world.
Incorrect. But I'll let it slide this time.
We're going to boot Dan real quick, so bear with us. We have Justin.
Hi.
Who apparently just says hi. And we have James.
I'd just like to warn everyone right now that I'm actually patient zero for the Ebola infection in the U.S., so if I had dropped silent at any point in the podcast, just assume that I'm dead.
God damn it,
well,
James.
Justin, I don't like you.
There is a stand-in rule that you can't die while recording because I don't want to fill out the paperwork. So if you do want to die, just hang up first.
Okay.
Leaving
this world. Wait, question. Do you still have to fill out the paperwork if I come back as a ghost?
Yes.
I don't know. I've never filled out paperwork for a ghost. I'm good friends with the Ghostbusters. I have them on speed dial. That said, this week...
That's actually a very good segue right there.
Yes, we are looking at the history of multiplayer in video games, or multiplayer in general. What?
Nothing. Yeah, multiplayer in general. Like, when you have a person, and then you get another person, and it's like multiplayer.
I don't think that's what they call it, but...
They call it two people.
I think it's called a human companionship.
No.
But multiplayer, when you have these two people in this... Well, I guess we'll define that in a bit, but... I guess multiplayer goes all the way back to kind of the arcades. Even Pong was a multiplayer game.
It's true.
And oddly enough, we've never really evolved beyond it. I mean, we kind of expanded and we regressed back to the point where a lot of games only offer two players in the room multiplayer. I mean, we get much wider worlds online, but couch co-op hasn't really expanded.
Oh, it has with the Wii U, though. We now go to 5-player co-op.
Yeah, but even the game.
So
the GameCube did 8.
Has
anyone, like, actually used 5-player co-op in the Wii? With the Wii U,
I have. Take that.
I have.
Have you? No. I'm genuinely asking. It's not a joke. Have you really?
I have. Take that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I might have. I can't remember. I think when my friend first got his Wii U, we might have done it.
James can't either remember that he used the Wii U or that there were 5 people there.
I can't remember if there were 5 people there, but we definitely used a Wii U when he first got it, and then we moved over to playing whatever that Link's Zelda game that you attached all the Game Boys up to your GameCube.
Ah, Link's Zelda game, my favorite.
Yeah, Zelda GameCube Link Edition, where you don't actually get beyond the first level because you keep throwing each other in the pits.
It's what, 4 swords, right?
Yeah,
four swords. Left for swords.
Left for swords. Yes, there we go.
Hey, it's a multiplayer game. It's on topic.
It's on topic, yes. But I was even going to say, even with the Wii U's 5, I mean, it's still, I mean, the GameCube at some point did 8, and so did the Wii.
The PlayStation 3 had 7.
Any game used that?
I don't think so. Maybe?
I always wanted to hook up the adapter for multiplayer on the PS2, the one that, like, hooks up from... that makes it into 4. I wanted to hook up a bunch of those and daisy-chain them, just like I wanted to do that with... Surge protectors. It's like my dream.
Oh. well, I mean, kind of going back to that, multis have been around for a while. I believe the original Nintendo had something like that. But the original Nintendo had a whole lot of different gimmicks.
Didn't the PlayStation 1 have one like that, too, where you could do, like, there's like 8
4
or 12?
Players.
Was it only 4?
Oh, I think it was only 4. Because they wanted to catch up to the N64, which had about 4 player simultaneously on the system, naturally. But again,
yeah,
a lot of games...
The Super Nintendo had a 4-person adapter as well, because it was used for, like, Secret of Mana and probably nothing else.
Yeah.
Does the GameCube count as having a 4-person adapter because you need 4 people?
Yeah.
No.
You can actually only use the GameCube people when... You can only use the GameCube when there are 4 people in the room.
I knew it.
Like, even if it's, like, Resident Evil or 4 or Metroid Prime, you still need 3 other people there to yell at you and you're doing it wrong.
Backseat driving.
Well, that is how I played Resident Evil 4. Yeah. I guess kind of, since we're all over the place, it's kind of narrow.
Sorry, I'm just, like, being really nonsensical off topic right now.
Yeah,
nonsensical? No way.
I just flew in from Canada, and boy, are my arms tired.
Anyhow! On topic, I guess what were some of your first multiplayer experiences?
I get it now.
Yeah,
is that
Justin.
The first time you've ever gotten that joke?
I've never heard that joke before.
You've never heard that joke? Okay, we're not going to entertain this right now. It's just really surprising you've never heard that joke before.
Well, one of my earliest multiplayer games that I played was NRA Jam on the Super Nintendo.
NBA Jam, did you say?
No, NRA Jam.
Oh, I think it's NBA Jam.
NRA Jam
is what happens when the National Rifle Association makes a basketball game for the Super Nintendo.
It
had, like big cartoonish heads. You could play as Joe Clinton. The voice thing inside this game would be like, "What I'm found!" And I would always try and toss it to the opposite side of the court just to make him say that, even though it was completely ineffectual.
I was going to point out that pretty much does sound like any shooter nowadays. Especially when you get stuff that says headshot, killing spree.
Yes, my favorite part of modern shooters when the announcer says "roar, roar, roar" when you throw the ball.
Overkill.
Yes,
yeah,
basically,
so
as a child, the novelty of having a game talk to me was the entire guiding point for my strategy. I'm like, all right, what do I do to make him talk?
And now you can't get him to shut up.
Exactly.
That drove me nuts playing Destiny. You're in the lead. Point gained.
Territory captured. Territory neutralized. Territory.
Oh, wait,
neutralized.
Earl, I have a question. Sorry, Justin, to interrupt you. Does Destiny have the same announcer as all the other Halo games?
No, it doesn't have the same announcer.
It has some British dude.
Okay, because you sounded like the normal Halo announcer, and I was like, oh, that would make sense if they did. But
no. Well, I mean, because that's the multiplayer game I played the most, and I know they say a lot of stuff. That's what I was mimicking.
That Halo dude is basically set for life. Because they're never going to stop making those games.
It's true.
To be fair, though, he technically also doesn't have to re-record these things. They don't rechange that
much. They probably do have him come in, like, just to redo it sometimes. I think, even in an interview they said that for Halo 4 they brought him back in to redo the lines and such.
Yeah.
To do mocap.
Yeah, they mocap his voice.
Okay, back to...
And that's why NRA Jam was great.
Yes, that's why NRA Jam was great. Sports games have always kind of been that way. I still think people prefer playing them in person, even though people get upset with Madden because everybody can see when you pick up Shay and they always fight about that, which is going to be one of the good things about the Wii U, but that never really panned out. Yeah, sports games. I guess technically this is multiplayer, but...
Sports games, were you like an FIFA guy, an NFL guy, a basketball guy?
I was an arcade sports guy. I played stuff like NBA Jam, Mutant Football League, Tecmo Bowl, mostly basketball, but...
Super Mario Strikers?
Well, yes, that obviously, Mario Strikers Charged. Smash TV wasn't a sports game, though, was it?
It's like the Running Man. It's a sport.
That's not a sport. I mean, it's a sport in that world, but it's not a sports sport. I was going to say one of my... And, I mean, this is technically multiplayer, but a different type of multiplayer, and I guess it depends on how you count it. But the original Mario games, where you can alternate between Mario and Luigi, which... It's still a practice that people engage in, but it's not as overt anymore. Like before, like you died, the next person got the controller, they got to take their turn until they died. Me and my friends still do that with GTA and some other games. If you're playing in the house, playing together, it's like you rack up as much damage as possible until you get busted and see how long you can last. And once you do, you take, somebody else gets the controller and something like that. Missions are never actually completed, so.
Yep, so over like 5 minutes.
Well, I mean, if you're really good, you can last like half an hour baiting the cops.
I remember, I think it was Crash Bandicoot 2 or Spyro 2. My friend and I, we would always like trade off because we were both good at like specific or like certain levels or characters, so we would just trade off. So there's like that one lava level in Spyro 2, and I would always trade off to him because he was really good at that and managed to get through without losing a ton of lives.
Yeah.
You guys sound like chumps.
We were also like 6 or 7.
I was just trying to be instigative.
I know 5-year-olds who are beating Dark Souls right now.
Yeah, I for don't. Real.
My brother's actually pretty close to beating Dark Souls too. Granted, he's like 14, so it's not too unrealistic.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, stuff like alternate control play. And then Super Mario Bros. 3 introduced the Mario Bros. Minigame, which was always a fun metagame in itself. Because, if I'm not mistaken, the person who controls the other character can pull you into a stage if you cross over them. So it was always trying to get past that stage without the other person switch turns. So, again, not a lot of progress in that regard. I kind of miss mini stuff. I mean, we still kind of have games, not a lot of games that allow you to screw over your partners anymore.
What's Mario Kart? Just lets you screw over everybody.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm talking about stuff like James mentioned Swords Adventure, where you can literally pick up your partners and throw them into chasms.
New Super Mario Bros. Wii, which was, of course, a wildly beloved game that everyone thinks is one of the best of the Mario series.
I do.
Oh, wait, no, the addition of multiplayer led to super neutered level design, where only, like, the final world was remotely interesting.
Can you do that in one of the new Rayman games?
Yeah, the Rayman games are pretty good about that.
Yeah.
Rank games have multiplayer?
Yeah. Origins and Legends both do.
Oh, see, I played it on my own, so I'm like, I'm this jolly old adventure made by a bunch of foreigners.
Except for the mobile ones, whatever.
Right. And I think you can do that in that little Big Planet 3, too, with the little bird dude.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It's weird in that regard. Like, you can do it, but so much of the level is really not designed around killing you, it's hard to do.
You just do it because it's funny.
Yeah, I mean, like James mentioned in Super Mario Bros. Wii and you, part of the trouble and part of the problem some people have with that is you all possess a physical space.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not only just not only you can dick over people, but you can do it by accident, or you can do it on purpose.
Oh no!
Most of the time on purpose.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
Yes,
okay.
Correct.
So talking about the history of multiplayer, we kind of mentioned NES with the multi-tap. I don't had any of you ever used a trackpad?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Justin, I assume you haven't played any game before 2010, really.
No, I
haven't.
Shut up.
No, before played, chess and pachinko.
Let's go all the way back to Go.
Yeah, let's take it way back.
Okay, this is
why we go
back
farther.
This is why we narrowed it down to video games.
Actually, funny story. In my first game class for college, that's what we did. We were the first day. He was like, "Hey, what's the first and oldest game you guys can think of?" We went all the way back. Everyone was like, "Obviously, Pac-Man, Pong." And then he's like, "No, your homework is to find the oldest game ever."
Jesus.
And
Christ.
What was the oldest game ever? I feel like it's probably. Chess.
Who can get the woman to the cave fastest?
It's called Senet, something like that. And it's an Egyptian game.
So I'm assuming that's about who would actually become a member of the Egyptian Senet, and whoever did it would get fed to crocodiles.
No, it's spelled S-E-N-E-T. I don't know how it's played, but it's either Senet or Go is typically.
We should find out. Do you think Twitch would let us stream a game of Senet?
Probably
do it.
So long as we don't use licensed music.
Twitch plays Senet. Anyway, that was my little fun fact for education time with Dan.
Anyway, let's skip several thousand years ahead.
I learned nothing.
Yeah, so skip. I don't think...
You learned nothing. You have a very low retention rate, Justin.
Yeah, I don't think... nothing. I think at the time, a lot of the big multiplayer stuff was arcade. Stuff like Turtles in Time, which offered up 4-player co-op. I believe the X-Men arcade game allowed 6-player co-op. And none of that stuff made it home, and I don't know how many of you actually got to use arcades.
I have used arcade machines before.
Okay.
I even beat Dragon's Lair on an arcade cabinet. It was as satisfying as you'd expect.
Was it very satisfying?
Not
oh,
really.
Dragon's Lair, is that the one, the
that's
anime?
The Dabluth cartoon.
Yeah.
It's one of the first games with FMV, right?
Yes. I can wager that if you look around the, like, if you look at the room around you, you'll probably find at least two things that can run Dragon Slayer. Like, I think it is on every console, every version of PC, every phone. There are even DVD, Blu-ray, and DVD versions.
On handheld, too.
Probably.
Who even knows?
It's probably on your calculator as well.
Rip, Justin.
What is he effing at? What? Oh, never mind. But yes, the console space was pretty dead at that. Well, I don't want to say dead. It was ivy, but mostly it was like you had two player fighting games, you had sports titles, you had the odd. I think like somebody mentioned Secret of Mana, which had, I believe it was three players.
I think so.
Yes.
Which I'm kind of disappointed in, because not a lot of RPGs allow for multiple characters. I believe the Tales of Sirius allows for it, and it's really weird how that handles it.
I actually like how it does it. It turns it from like a group sort of like almost strategy-esque battle to like each player controls their own character in the game, so you kind of get like this whole brawl going on.
I don't know, I get that. I'm talking about the fact that like everybody controls their own character, but it's like one person controls the map. So pretty much like it's like maybe 75-25% inactive versus active.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, that's just how RPGs are going to be though.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there isn't any workaround. I mean, I guess we have seen more, I guess, MMOs, which have taken the RPG design and created more.
Or you could do Zelda Four Swords Adventures, where it's sort of like you just take everything that is like an RPG has a lot of, like NPCs and text and dialogue, and just kind of make it all loosey-goosey and just say, oh, that's level. Yeah, all four of you guys just go through it. Very minimal dialogue, so there's very minimal, like, one person does something and the other three have to wait, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like a raid?
Yeah.
I don't know what you said, but I don't like you.
You said like a raid. Like a raid. The other thing, and this comes up later on with a lot of, like, no cool screen, and I think Tails has the same problem, is the bounding box, because you all have to share a TV, you can only put a camera out so far before you won't see anybody. So what some games do is that they force everybody within this confined space. And again, another way to kind of dick over your friends sometimes is you have one person running in the opposite direction you're supposed to go in so that nobody can progress forward. It tends to happen. And the other thing, which...
That was the thing that I had a problem with Marvel Ultimate Alliance. I was playing with two of my friends, and one of them was just, like, running opposite end because I think we grabbed, like, one of the loot things and he didn't want it, so he was just being a complete dickbag about it.
Yeah, and again, that happened. Though that is also another problem with that type of design, and some... It's like you have different play styles. Like, there's people like me who kind of... If I'm in the dungeon or something, I go through, like, every... cavern, I go through every hidden path, and then there's other people who just want to go through the level, so it's always a fight as to who's going to get there first, like, are you going to take the alternate path, or is it just going to be the person rushing to get to the next point in the chapter? There's still no answers for that. There's still, I mean, I guess multiplayer allows it now. You have, I mean, online, you have stuff like, what was I going to say? Oh, Crackdown, for example, which has a wide open space, and it's co-op, but you don't have to be together at all. Like, you can be doing two completely different missions at the same time, or you can work together.
Sounds pretty funny. What I was thinking about the bounding boxes was Gauntlet, like the original Gauntlet, isometric beat-em-up fighters, even just regular fighters and stuff.
Beat-em-ups were also guilty of that, like Streets of Rage and Final Fight.
Yeah. I just think
TMNT4.
Sorry, but Gauntlet especially annoyed me because I had it for N64 and I played it with my two brothers, or stepbrothers, and that was like the worst part of it, was like getting caught in a bounding box or like moving forward through a labyrinth and then having one person caught in the corner of a maze or something like that.
Yeah. But some games have, I think some games have gotten better with that, where they allow some type of warp. Or the other alternative used to suck is that the person who was too far out would end up getting killed.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what Ratchet Deadlock did. It's like you had a certain distance, and afterwards there'd be like a 10-second timer where one of you had to like get closer to the other. Like a certain distance.
That reminds me of the worst childhood multiplayer, Sonic the Hedgehog, if you ever had to play as Tails, because Sonic was always the star of the game, so the game didn't concern itself with Tails. If you stay together, it's fine. If you went too far ahead or too far behind, it would just kind of kill you off and just bring you back. And there was really no way around that. You were always just the assistant character. And I know it used to suck because you can't really do much.
Yeah, classic Tails though. Useless as Tails.
Classic Tails.
Classic Sonic supporting character.
Yes, but then we went into the 3D era, and that's when the home console multiplayer really evolved because of the advent of the N64 having 4 ports.
Oh, I was going to mention before that, I think we skipped over Pokemon, which is a single-player experience that has a multiplayer component to it.
Well, technically, Pokemon came out after the N64.
I know, that's why we missed it, though. Well, that was also my first multiplayer game. I didn't get to answer that question, so I wanted to bring it up.
Oh, yeah. and it's a different type of multiplayer, because that's more of a social multiplayer, which is something that Nintendo has tried to thrive on since then. Because Pokemon is, as you said, pretty much a single-player game throughout, but it has social features that encourages you to talk and trade and battle with your friends.
Yeah, it's designed so that you have to have at least two people, so theoretically two people, two friends, two copies of the game to be able to catch all the Pokemon.
Yeah,
so.
Either two people or two copies or two games and two Game Boys and no dignity. I mean, you can do it that way too.
A lot of people do it that way.
Did you guys ever do like the little cable thing on the GBA where you like swapping Pokemon with a friend?
I've never done it. I know friends who have.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask if any of you like ever experienced someone that's like totally dicking you over and yanking out the link cable before you could get their Pokemon.
Well, you used to be able to do that. You can't anymore.
You can't. Okay.
Because it uses the internet.
Because it trades both Pokemon at the same time, whereas before it traded one then the other, which is why you could clone Pokemon a lot easier before.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take that.
I've also done some, we mentioned already Four Swords Adventure. There was a GameCube version, which had I think you needed four GBAs. I've done that before as well with three people.
The most annoying part about that game is you can play with single player with a GameCube controller, or multiplayer, you have to use both GBA adapters. So it's not like you can use one GameCube controller and then a GBA adapter. You have to have four GameCube adapters if you want to do four, or two if you want to play two. You can't have like that.
I thought it was one and one.
Nope, you can't do one and one.
I wonder if it was because I had the GBA player.
I don't know.
But yeah, we've done that, and we've also done Pac-Man Versus, which is actually a really fun game. It was just a really terrible marketing idea by Nintendo. But it's a really fun game, and I'm really disappointed they haven't brought that back for the Wii U in some capacity, because it's the perfect system for Pac-Man Versus.
Pac-Man versus who?
Pac-Man versus
No, it'll be Pac-Man versus you. Oh. I mean, you gotta do that console branding.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I mean, eventually you're gonna sell systems.
Yeah, but, yes, going back to the N64 and the PlayStation and the Saturn. I believe the Saturn introduced 8-player? I believe that's where you had 8-player Bomberman. And I believe
that sounds like a...
Oh wait, the TurboGrafx-16 allowed
ever
five
use
player
a Saturn.
Bomberman.
That is the question, though.
I've never used a Saturn. That is my one regret. I've always wanted to buy one, but then I don't see
really
anything. As far as
what are you going to play on it? Like Knights,
which is on the Wii and PSN.
Crap! What was that JRPG that probably doesn't matter anymore?
Sonic.
No, the JRPG.
Guys of Arcadia.
No, that was
on the Dreamcast.
Yeah, I know. I don't really.
Chrono Trigger.
No, it was like Panzer Dragoon something or other that was on the Saturn.
One of those Dragoon games.
Panzer Dragoon Saga. But I've always wanted to buy a Saturn, but like honestly, I can't think of any game that I would want for it. So it's always been like, I want to try it because I used to be a huge Sega kid, and I've had.
You've regretted it ever since.
I've never regretted it. I still
you're just looking at all your copies of Sonic games, and you're like, wait a minute, these were never great.
That's not true. I think Sonic 2 still holds up.
I have only played 3, and it is okay.
And Streets of Rage was fun. And I used to, Ultra Beast, I might give you, probably was a child speaking. Vector Man was okay. I never cared for Echo the Dolphin.
You had the weaker version of Aladdin. But the prettier one, I will give you that. The Genesis one was prettier because they used the actual animation cells.
We also got the weaker version of Batman Returns, but nobody ever talks about that.
Yeah, that's because Batman Returns doesn't matter as much as Aladdin.
Oh, Batman Returns was really fun. It was pretty awesome on the Super Nintendo.
Okay, but the important thing is that the Genesis did not have Chrono Trigger or Super Metroid or Super Mario Kart to bring it back to multiplayer games.
Yes, but it had Road Rash.
Ooh, got you there.
What the fuck is Road Rash?
Bam, got you.
Sounds cool.
You guys can't even talk anymore.
But yes, the Saturn was there, but the N64 had 4 controller ports standard, which actually opened up the gate a lot. I mean, if you talk to people about the N64, I think after they named Ocarina of Time and Mario 64, almost everything else would be a multiplayer experience. You can't walk 5 steps without somebody singing The Virtues of Golden and I am Perfect Dark 64. Even though in hindsight, Perfect Dark 64 was not, I don't want to say it was a terrible game, but technically it was a mess.
It was like a better game than GoldenEye. And having played the 360 update, it is closer to being a worthwhile game I would still recommend than GoldenEye is. And that's the highest praise I'll give it.
I think GoldenEye's campaign's better. I think the multiplayer, and this is something that I really do miss, the multiplayer isn't as insane.
I know what you mean. Like, one thing we did with the 360 version was we set up, like, a specific rule set where it would have the maximum amount of bots, but they would be set to melee only, so you were basically fighting off a wave of, like, 6 or so zombies, all with, like, reasonably competent AI, and it was pretty nuts.
Yeah, and you can't do that anymore, which is really a shame.
Okay, you can if you go over to PC, which around the time that the N64 was sort of revolutionizing console multiplayer, the internet had been invented. So you had that basically...
By Al Gore.
Yes, thank you, Al Gore. Without you, we would not have Quake or Unreal Tournament or all those other wonderful PC classics that basically, yeah, took the rule book of how multiplayer had been and just threw the whole thing out. You're like, hey, you want 16 people in here? Boom, no problem. I mean, you can't make a phone call while you're doing it, but hey, it's worth it.
And the sad thing is, 20-some-odd years, almost 20 years later, and consoles still haven't really caught up. I mean, most games are still kind of capped at 16, where PC games, you can go up there with some of them. Battlefield.
Like, what's your battlefield? What was, in which case, you stick to 24.
Yeah, what was Battlefield? Did they raise the player cap on the next-gen version?
No, Battlefield 4. Battlefield 4 is at 24.
Okay, on PC, it's been 64.
64?
Yep, 64 since the original back in 2002.
Yeah, I think Call of Duty and Halo are still 16.
Yeah, well, to be fair, those make more sense for the way their levels are set up.
Yeah,
but with something like Battlefield, it is the kind of grand scale thing.
Yeah.
Well,
having 32 Germans fighting 32 Russians through the streets of Berlin is amazing.
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of a chicken or egg scenario because the Halo and Call of Duty are set up that way because they cap the games that way. It's not like they can't make bigger maps.
Yeah. It's basically
skirmish style.
Different styles of multiplayer.
That's what Bungie's doing. They're working on Halo 3. It's like they could easily like boost up the player count. It's just not their style of game.
Yeah, it wouldn't
because
be Halo.
Because then it becomes a completely different thing. And I respect that.
Yeah, I get that. I'm just saying that it's like a lot of like the only one that
I
think
it would go from like you know,
oh Mag, never forget.
What was it? 256 people, right?
Was it, something like
it,
that?
It,
I
it
mean,
was,
yeah.
it was just, something insane.
It was 256.
Yeah, do you guys remember? I think it was Resistance 1. They had 60 person multiplayer.
What?
No.
Was it any good, the multiplayer?
I think so, yeah. No, Resistance 1 had 40 person. Resistance 2 had 60.
Oh, wait, that reminds me. Super Smash Bros. Melee had tournament mode where you could have 64 different players.
Are you serious?
Yeah, but you only have 4 at a time, though.
Yeah.
You couldn't have 32 Marios fighting 32 Luigis, like, across the Awake Island with jets flying overhead and tanks. Basically, the point I'm trying to say is that the original Battlefield 1942 is still one of my favorite multiplayer experiences.
Well, what I was trying to say was that a GameCube game had 64-player multiplayer.
And was awesome. I mean, granted, there weren't many times when we had enough friends around to have 64 people, so it'd usually be, like, 12 of us, and then just dozens of bots.
Yeah, basically.
Believe what?
No, I mean, it just sounds weird for, like, a GameCube game that's, like, 64 players, like, because this was before online was even really a thing, right? So how would
I'm going to blow your mind, Justin. There was an online capability for the GameCube also. Boom.
For Phantasy Star Online and...
I think that was it.
I forgot Phantasy Star Online was a thing.
Me and my friends actually played it without the online. Like we would just be going through it together through the level design, but because we were doing it, like, just local only, it wouldn't... Like, it would keep our character progress, so all our inventories and levels would be preserved, but it wouldn't keep our progress, like, going through the game, so every time we'd have to restart going through the same areas. It would just be quicker, because we could have, like, actual good gear at that point. I have no idea if it is actually a good game, though. I could not tell you.
It's not.
Okay, I believe you.
Yeah, me too.
What was your guys' like first couch co-op multiplayer experience?
Well,
like actual couch co-op, not just like I'm gonna pass the controller off.
Not just like I'm sitting on the couch and I'm playing, and then you're gonna play when I die.
Yeah, actual couch co-op.
Like, I mean, now I want to clarify. Do you mean with friends or do you mean with siblings?
With
either one.
Let's do
any other sentient being. Like, they don't even
siblings are different because you pretty much just kind of play games together. Like, me and my brother used to play wrestling games all the time. Me and most of my friends played wrestling games together up until...
Okay, you like wrestling? College. I never knew.
Yeah, I was going to say, siblings are different because my siblings weren't very good at games compared to me or my friends, so it's a different story.
Yeah
that's...
Let's just do friends. Let's make it simple.
My first experience with friends was also, I believe, wrestling games. Back on the Genesis, we used to play WWF Raw. Outside of that, I think my first experience was... I think I used to play Super Mario Kart with some people.
Mm-hmm.
Was it me?
It wasn't you, Dan.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
It's a bummer.
For you.
It was... It's you I'm looking for. But yes, what about you? What was yours, Justin?
My cousin...
TBD?
...had... there was this Dragon Ball Z fighting game for the PS1. I could not tell you what it was called.
Dragon Ball Z.
It's not Budokai. Budokai was the
PS2. I don't think it was Budokai. It was something. But we basically just, like, played through that through hours on hours and hours on end. And as far as not family, I think my... best friend and I did co-op runs of Ratchet Deadlocked when I rented it for PS2, and we killed in that thing. It was really fun.
I on the other end of the spectrum, I guess. What was your first online experience?
Oh, I know mine. It was Left 4 Dead.
Oh, that's recent.
This wasn't until Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
I didn't own a non-Nintendo console until the 360, and my first game was Fallout 3, and then it was Left 4 Dead.
Well, to be fair, that is the perfect first 360 game to get, because it's like the second or third best 360 game.
Well, it was funny, because when I played it, I didn't know modern, like, next-gen conventions, like fast travel was a thing, or, like, how the profile system and save system worked.
Did you walk everywhere? Even like
I walked everywhere.
Did you leave your system on because you didn't know they invented save files and you thought you're gonna have to input a password?
Yeah, actually, I skipped right from the NES to the 360, so I was just like totally bowled out.
Nice.
That must have blew your mind.
You're like, holy shit, this is just like real life. Even the parts when like all the items start flying around the area and the big super mutant clips through the walls of the Washington Monument.
Yeah, just like real life. Clipping and glitchiness and everything bugged, and my save file corrupts, just like when you die in real life.
Yeah. That actually is how real life works. When you die, your save file is corrupted, and you have to start a completely new playthrough.
Yeah, so a corrupt save file is basically just like an aneurysm. You just randomly, spontaneously die, and you can't see it coming.
Okay, yeah. Back on topic. James, what was your first multiplayer online experience?
Going back, I believe it was Age of Empires 2, I believe? So I guess that was, a little earlier, because I think that came out, it was early 2000. Like, I wasn't allowed to, I obviously, as a small child, I wasn't technically supposed to be playing online. But I'm like, hey, cool, I was able to get this, I'm in this crazy history strategy game now. I can, be battling other people online. And of course, I did horrible. The Scottish people were constantly beat down completely, but it was awesome. Mostly, the problem was I spent the whole time playing defensively and just building walls upon walls upon walls. So really all I did was elongate the game and annoy everyone else, but hey, it was worth it.
Nuncho pass. Justin, what was your first online experience?
God, I'm 99% certain that it was Halo 3.
Okay.
That sounds about right, yeah. And I remember doing pretty poorly, and then I got really good at Halo 3.
Really good is still relative for Justin.
Yeah, really good in comparison to the friends that you played with.
Not even when I wasn't playing with friends. I remember it was Gartner. What's it called on a? What's the equivalent of lockout on Halo 3? I think it's Guardian. The jungle map. That was the one that I 9 out of 10 would always dominate on.
That was when you were playing against your dog, though. Am I right?
I do love that he says 9 out of 10. I will always dominate because it's not always.
I said usually.
9 out of 10, she always dominates.
Anyway.
Justin, I just want to pinch your cheeks. You're so cute sometimes.
Please, don't pinch my cheeks, Dan.
And my first experience was Halo 2, I believe. I could be wrong. I know my first online experience was on console and Xbox. It was either that or it was, I don't know if any of you remember. No, it was Halo 2. I tried Triple X, not Triple X, 13. I don't know if any of you remember.
Say Blinks. And I was like, yeah.
Never forget, Blinks.
I tried 13.
Never forget.
This is one of the reasons I don't necessarily care for online gaming at times. Like, I prefer couch co-op because you can always... But if your friends are there, you can play the game. Online is so dependent on other people. Like, I've gotten games where the online community is just absolutely dead. And
yeah,
13 of those games.
I remember Dark Sector. I got it like a year after it came out, and the online community was like mostly dead, except I kept on getting like lumped in with the same like 4 or 5 people.
They're probably the only other people who owned the game because they all also got it for $5 in the bargain bin.
It's not a bad game, but it was.
Yeah, I've heard it's totally decent. It just didn't do very well, so it immediately ended up cheap. It's probably $4 on eBay, I'm going to bet right now.
It's probably not even that, probably like $1.
Yeah, it's always kind of, especially in with PlayStation Plus and Xbox games with Gold, when you go back to, when they give out free games, especially with Gold, games with Gold, since they do go back a ways, you'll go back and you'll find people, because they got it, they're playing again. If you went a week before,
When Halo 3 was on Games with Gold, suddenly the entire community just popped right back up.
I think part of that
is... Justin was actually close to right. The cheapest copy of Dark Sector on eBay is $2.
Oh, you and Justin should get it and play together.
Well, he come to my new house that I'm moving into on Saturday at college. All my roommates are 3 complete strangers, but one of them had a PS3 and a PSP, so that's actually, I think, the first time I've seen a PSP in the wild.
A PSP? What is that? Sony made a console before the Vita? Oh, wait, Sony has a handheld console, period?
Yeah, it was this, in Japan it's used for Monster Hunter, and in America it's used as a Super Nintendo emulator.
Basically. Or an MP3 player.
Yeah.
but yes. But yeah, we were at the N64, and
Now we're in modern day, Earl. Gosh.
Well, I was going to go back because I really do feel like between the N64 and kind of the Xbox, that's pretty much been the evolution of Roku Play. Like, we haven't really gone beyond four players. You'll get the random Nintendo game, like Nintendo N that does five players, or you'll get Mario
games that do have
multiple. Or you'll get like random stuff like on the GameCube when Mario Party had eight players when you split the controller.
Yeah.
But other than that, we just kind of capped it off at four. I don't know why four was determined as the number.
I think, imagine, like, part of it has to do with screen space. Like, since most of the multiplayer games locally would split the screens up into both halves and then quarters, I mean, it just wasn't viable at that point to split it any further. Most TVs to have, like, a visible amount of things.
Yeah, if you split it into five, you just lose a lot of, had a better word for it, but visibility.
Because then, like, the fifth screen is, like, more than likely going to be in the center, and then that just, like, wrecks the other four people's flow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even then, like, you have games, like, we kind of mentioned stuff like Gauntlet and X-Men Legends, which are one screen, so technically that's not beholden to the same rule
But those are, well, I mean, in the case of X-Men, as far as I know, I don't know about Gauntlet, but, like, X-Men is isometric, basically.
Yeah,
like, everyone.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same type of game, but I mean, I understand why they do it because it does get. I mean, even playing X-Men Legends, and this is more the character designs than anything. It does sometimes get hard to track your characters when there's too many enemies on screen.
Dude, it gets really hard to track. Even playing single player, I got a little bit confused. I'm like, which X-Men
which
was
is,
which sometimes.
Which is really
even
sad.
Just reading the comics, I'm like, which X-Men is which.
But yeah, that's why I started. That's why I. That's why I thought. That's why I used Iceman in that game because he had a kind of blue transparency to him, so he always stood out.
Yeah, it was like Iceman and Toad are pretty much the only two that like you can really tell the difference on because everyone else is like either big or buff or has boobs.
Well, they modeled it after the movies, so a lot of them had
which was a bad idea.
Yeah, a lot of them had darker costumes. So, like, they were wearing black with yellow trimming, so it doesn't really stand out that much. They fixed it in later games with, you had the original Xbox.
Yes, you can definitely tell the difference in Ultimate Alliance.
Yeah, but it's one of the reasons Iceman became my favorite X-Men, is because I had to use him in the game to tell who the hell I was on screen.
He fucking sucked. Like, as far as, like, power...
Wow, calling you out, Earl.
As far as his power set and like and going off X-Men 2, he kind of sucked.
Well, at least you don't hate Cyclops.
No, Cyclops also sucks.
Oh, fuck you.
Justin's on the hate train tonight.
Justin, tell me you like Kitty Pryde.
It's alright.
Justin, tell me you like Katy Perry.
Wait, who?
Katy Perry, you know, she was, she's that X-Men girl who's got, like, the yellow jacket and she makes, like, sparkles or something.
She kissed a girl and she liked it.
Katy Perry's okay, I guess.
Anyhow, since apparently going off.
Right,
anyway, that's our list of characters we want to be in X-Men movies, but won't happen because we brought back the boring look again.
Anyway, I have a question.
Go for it.
What is your favorite online multiplayer experience?
Online only?
Yes. Yeah, let's do online for now.
Favorite experience, I would have to say, I think it's either Borderlands or Left 4 Dead. There's something about those types of co-op, but independent games that I like. You can do it on your own, but you can just as easy work with somebody and, you know, form these amazing strategies. Left 4 Dead, especially when you do versus, I think it's really you really need to know your teammates. And I think that's something a lot of games miss out on with the co-op aspect. I understand why you wouldn't want to do that often, because you don't want, like, I think this is coming up with Destiny, where, like, you have to use, with Raid, you need six players, you can't have randoms. And it's
which, by the way, also, that's a fucking stupid idea.
I get why people are...
That you can't do matchmaking.
I get why people are upset about that, and I get why they did it as well. I come down on either side of it because I understand, I think it's a lot easier to kind of say, like, okay, it's me and five friends, and we decided we're going to carve out 2 hours and do this. To give you an example, Halo ODST with Firefight, that wasn't something I would do with randoms because it's like an hour and a half.
I mean, you also can't do it with randoms.
Yeah, but
yeah,
that...
It's the same thing as something like Horde mode in Gears of War. It's something that is more reasonable to do with any old person, but something co-op like Left 4 Dead, I mean, you can, but usually you're going to want to call up all your friends and be like, all right, let's whip on Steam and turn on some Left 4 Dead. We might have modded it too much. There's not a single zombie in the game anymore, and we're all playing as either raptors or anime girls.
Yeah, for
and
real.
And every sound effect of the zombies is
Raptor
Man.
Anime girls?
Sometimes. You gotta understand, PC can get really out of hand very quickly.
Oh, I
don't. That's why I don't play it.
Yeah, like PC gamers like to style themselves as uber elitist, like holier than thou snob guys, but
mean,
really they're all
they
like odd. Okay,
what
they
mean
like
they like to.
Okay, they like
they
to think
do.
Of themselves as better than everyone else, but really we're all a bunch of oddball weirdos that are just
yeah,
fucking
I,
around.
Yeah, I know. And as soon as they all admit that, with like some actual fucking dignity, I'll play a fucking PC game. But
and that is
then,
why. My favorite multiplayer game is Team Fortress 2, because you can play it on both ends of the scale. I mean, you can have it as an actual, like on the one hand, yes, you can have it as an actual strategy-centric team game. It's perfectly balanced. You got 9 different classes. Each one occupies a completely different role. They're utterly unique. There's no, like, generic soldier class. I mean, everyone's got something interesting, too.
It's funny, because there is a class called the soldier.
Yeah, but even he's, like, interesting, because he's based around, like, rocket gun and stuff. And, you know, being an utter psychopath. Well, that's everyone, I guess. And then on the
yeah,
other
he's
end...
He's not a psychopath in that game.
No. Remember, PC gamers. Well, we're all a bunch of coked-up weirdos. And
yeah,
then
I was gonna say acid.
That, too. Basically everything. Like if you watch Wolf of Wall Street, everything Leo takes, that's PC gamers. It
just
sort of bleeds through the modems. Sometimes. But you gotta remember, he takes everything in that, including Quaaludes. But, and then on the other end of Team Fortress, it goes into batshit insanity. You go into 2-4, and you have a 90-minute capture the flag match that never ends, because only about 2 people are making a conscious effort to beat the mech game, and the rest of them are just setting up engineering bases in the opposing team's sewers, or everyone is just dancing in, like, the central courtyard area. I mean, that is why Capture the Flag is basically the Team Fortress mode, because it occupies both those ends of the spectrum of actual serious team game and incoherent, gleeful insanity.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've not played it much, but from what I hear, the Eagle Legends group has a really notorious reputation for being awful human beings.
Yes,
oh yeah.
My god, yes.
They just banned a couple of their star players a couple weeks ago, actually, for being, like, harassing. I think it was, like, they were harassing some Riot employees, or they were harassing some newbies, but either way, they were being, like, super dicks.
Yeah, having played Dota, if it's anything like that, then yes, like, half the people are, like, complete assholes.
Every single mobile.
And the other half are, like,
terrible.
The traditional, like, Team Fortress player, where they're all batshit weirdos, where
or
when you
called,
start...
Or they're Call of Duty, where they're, like, basically
super
pathological...
Serious.
Where it's, like, pathological murderers.
Yeah.
Every
Call of Duty
player
thinks
part of
that they're
actually
just, like,
the,
that serious.
Part of that goes to the time commitment of mobile. Like, when you're playing a match in a mobile, you're going in for at least, like... Like, the shortest matches I play are 25 minutes, and those are rare. I mean, you're usually going in for, like, 40 minutes or more. So you're sticking a lot of time into it, so people will get very pissed if things don't go right. And they can go wrong from the beginning, and they'll still keep going wrong and be hard to recover from going through the entire game. So it leads to that point where, yeah, if you are, like, just queuing up with random players and you screw up at any point, they will chew you out.
No,
that's why
the
I
worst
always
human
play friends.
This is part of what drew me away from Call of Duty, because people got, like, so fucking serious the moment they lost something, or they would start sending out death threats to people, like, if you killed them a certain way.
My favorite people are the ones who are like 1v1 me right now. It's like that obviously
yeah.
matters.
It's like oh
yeah, whenever
14th,
that happens in Team Fortress Masses, everyone just ignores them. Like, we'll just
yeah.
run by, just dressed up as spies, and just screw around.
Or it's like, no, you obviously cheated. Come on, let's prove it right now. It's like, no, calm down.
1v1 me. How about no, do your homework and go to bed. It's past 9.
Right.
Sure.
This is partially why I'm worried about that, like, Gearbox game Battleborn, because, like, if League of Legends players are, like, super dicks about everything, I just can't imagine what they'll be like on a console like MOBA.
Oh, every MOBA player is just going to be the worst human being in the world.
Yeah.
I have no faith in any of them. I have some very good friends who are really intensely into League of Legends, and, oh well, I don't have very much hope for them either.
So, I mean, what is it about that community that you think just drives people into becoming assholes.
I don't know why the game specifically, because there are a lot of other multiplayer games that are just as competitive and just as super serious and stuff like that. I think it is a little bit of the time commitment, but also because it's very much a team-centric game.
But most multiplayer games are.
Yeah, well, like I said earlier, it's a big time commitment for a single match, so if things go wrong, they're going to be going wrong for a long time.
Well, they can screw you over your entire, like, ranking and stuff, which, I mean, matters in a lot of multiplayer games, too, but it's like, apparently matters to some people in League of Legends so much more. I think it's because League of Legends is so accessible, and because it's so free-to-play, that you can very easily just play for forever, basically.
For free?
You can play for free for forever, and...
It's so free-to-play. That's a new one.
Well, I was just kind of... expanding on a point, and I lost what I was thinking about now, Earl. Gosh,
it's just easy accessible to
you're making
everybody.
Me blush
so,
now.
So you're saying that because the barrier to entry is so easy, they want to weed out the weak.
Well, no, the barrier to entry is actually hard because of the player base, but.
Well, I mean, the barrier to entry is easy in that anybody can play it, but they want to make sure that people...
The actual barrier of learning how to play competently is... It's actually kind of insane that League and Dota have become as popular as they are, since the barrier of entry to get, like, vaguely capable of playing the game is so high.
Yeah, it really is. You gotta know a lot of, not only, like, metrics, but also, like, player dynamics and character dynamics and stuff, and a lot of mechanics, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know a couple of mechanics. Bad joke, but anyhow.
Automotive joke.
I'm glad that you folks caught on to that after it bombed, so.
Yeah.
Oh, I caught on to it. I just gave you a pity laugh.
No, I genuinely liked it after I got it.
So, I mean, I guess, what are you currently playing as far as multiplayer goes?
Pocket Monsters. All day, every day.
All day, every day. Oh. I continue to play. I've been playing Payday. I've been playing that for a while with my friend.
Oh, dude, Payday is so fun.
Not your turn, Justin!
I also approve of Payday, even though I've only played it during, like, 2 free weekends. Actually, the free weekend on Steam when I played Payday 2, I actually got lucky. Like, one of my first matches, I ended up in with a team of players who were, like, really, I'm trying to think of the right word to say. They were actually sort of welcoming to the fact that I didn't know what I was doing. They're like, all right, here's what you can do to help.
They were not douche.
Exactly. Yeah, they were the other end of PC gamers. Like I said, there are two ends of PC gamers. There's the super helpful weirdos, and there's the complete and total assholes.
And then there's me.
Space.
I think you're a
complete and total assholes.
Not anymore. Well, yeah. I say not anymore because I just don't have time to play PC games, but I do.
You just don't. You just not to. But yeah, Payday is one of those games that's super fun. It is what GTA 5 said it was going to be as far as the heist, basically.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
What the GTA multiplayer said it was going to be.
I think what the GTA multiplayer fan base thought it was going
to
be.
Yeah, instead it turned out to something that actually did satisfy me more than the campaign, even if it didn't have all the awesome-sounding heists.
Yeah, I mean, as far as Payday goes, like, the single-player AI is, like, really shitty. But, and it's...
So, like, Left 4 Dead?
And it can get a little bit annoying, like, when you do, like, one thing wrong and literally you have the entire police squadron on your ass, but otherwise it's really fun.
Sounds like real life.
Yeah, a little.
Spill a glass of water, the entire police force is on you.
Mm-hmm.
This is a slight tangent, but I've always been curious, what do people want out of video game AI?
What do you mean?
Because people always say AI is this, and AI is terrible, AI is stupid.
As far as teammate AI, they just, like, constantly run into walls. Or they get themselves shot. It's things like that.
To answer your question, people want out of AI someone that is just as good as them, but not as good as them. People want something that is non-existent. They want something that's too unreasonable. They want somebody who will play as seriously as they do, but who will also let them win.
Yeah, friendly AI basically boils down to... It's sort of like Dan's thing. You want that really, really hard-to-nail balance between they are actually doing something to help, but not winning the game for you.
Yeah, and that's what I've always been curious about, because it does seem to be a very thin line between, like, oh man, this game is really tough because I can't do anything because the computer's super smart, or the computer just stands at a wall while I shoot it from behind. And it's
the same comparison as realism versus fun. That's what AI is. People want AI to be as realistic as possible, but they still want to have fun with it, which is unrealistic.
Yeah, that's I never get the expectation, like, what people actually want developers to do.
My thing is just, do not dot. My thing is, like, just do not, like, run into a wall for 5 minutes.
I would just like an AI companion that's competent enough. That, I don't care about anything else. Just competent.
I meant AI in both regards. I'm the computer and, like, teammates and stuff like that, because people complain about it both ways. And I've always been curious about that, because it does seem to be, it's not that people can't get the balance right, it's that it never makes sense, because you don't want a computer that's better than the human players, and you don't want one that's going to beat the game for you. Like, you don't want to be able to, like, oh yeah, I'll just stand back here and he'll take care of everything. Which is, because like you mentioned, Payday, like, it sucks that they can't carry any bags and stuff. But at the same time, that would just mean you'd hide out in cover until they did all the work and come out when it's safe. So, yeah. Did we get Dan and Dan's answer?
I don't think we didn't get his answer or my answer as far as, like, favorite online multiplayer.
I don't know. I was trying to think of what my favorite one is. It was at
probably
one point.
Probably Pokemon.
Well, I don't really play the online that much. That's one of my favorite games, but I mean, very selective on online. So what I was going to say was Super Monday Night Combat when it was relevant.
Oh, dude, that's actually...
Dude, that game was awesome.
Hey, guys, I actually have a fun revelation for you. You were basically playing a shooter version of League of Legends.
No, I know.
I know, that doesn't make it any less awesome.
Yeah.
That's the one...
I actually didn't realize it when I was first playing it.
There are two MOBAs that I like, and both of them were going to be on this list. One of them is Super Monday Night Combat. The other one's Awesome Knots, which is still relevant and still very fun.
Yeah, the 2D MOBA, right?
Yeah, it's a platformer MOBA, basically.
Yeah, I've heard good things about it.
Are you... Sorry, go on. I'll ask you this later.
Well, they're both really, really fun, and the Super Monday Night Combat community just died because the company doesn't care about it anymore.
Well, I mean, they only did, like, one expansion, and they didn't continue with it.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean by they don't care about it.
Yeah, and part of the thing with MOBAs is that you do have to have that constant support and building it up and adding new things but still keeping it balanced.
They did,
like,
a lot of mistakes.
They're finally getting added to Dota 2.
But, so that one's dropped. But I still like Awesome Knots, and Ronimo still does stuff with Awesome Knots, and they're really cool guys. So one of those two I would say play it, but I've also was going to say Gears of War 2 I had a lot of fun with. It's just a generic shooter, but I played a ton of Gears of War 2.
Now, when you say you played a ton of Gears of War 2, did you play a ton of Gears of War 2 multiplayer, or did you play a ton of Horde mode?
Both, but mostly both. I'm level 100 in Gears of War 2.
Had multiplayer outside of the Horde mode?
Okay, I was just asking for curiosity, because I know, like, some people, when they say that they play Gears 2 multiplayer, like, oh yeah, I just play, like, tons and tons of Horde mode.
Oh no, I played hardcore Gears 2. I'm level 100, which is absolutely ridiculous.
I can never get.
Did you get that achievement,
Dan?
Yeah, dog.
Wait, which one? Come out the seriously achievement?
No, I did not get seriously 2.0, but I do have the achievement to get to level 100.
Oh, you know, because it's like, what, pay 9,999 games or something?
No, it's just get to level 100, but the amount of XP required is absolutely absurd. It's something like 10% of the EXP that you earn is between levels 1 and 90, and the other 90% is between 90 and 100, something crazy like that.
Yeah, but Gears of War was extremely fun. I enjoyed it. It was very different, especially on the console space, because of the one-life-one-round thing.
That's what drew me away from it, actually.
I liked the metrics of it a lot more than a first-person shooter, because it's kind of, like, slow, you have time to think, but also all of the matches, like, the matchups 1v1, especially when they became Shotgun Wars, were very carnal and very, like, oh my god, I'm really into this moment stuff.
Yeah.
Maps were small, and I just liked it a lot.
The one death thing on most of the modes works because the matches are reasonably short. It's sort of the same thing with Counter-Strike, where each individual round with your one life is going to go by in only a couple minutes, so it has that reasonable balance that you're not going to be going that long. Okay, yeah, seriously, 2.0 in Gears 2 was kill 100,000 enemies, and that was across any mode, so you can do it across campaign and horde and multiplayer.
Not multiplayer.
Was seriously 3.0
no,
million
it was
enemies?
Multiplayer, yeah. Sorry, what?
Wasn't seriously 3.0 in Gears 3, like, was it a million enemies across, like, single-player, multiplayer, and... horde mode.
Yeah, something stupid like that. I didn't play Gears of War 3 that much, unfortunately. And it was right when I went to college, so.
And seriously, Judgment was, like, if you ever played the game, they just said thank you and gave you all the achievements.
Basically, well, I remember the seriously achievement in Gears of War 1 was super notorious because there was no way to track it, and sometimes you had to do like an extra like 50 to 100 kills because the game like didn't realize that you had done the full 1,000.
Yeah. Well, no, it was 10,000 in Gears 1, but it was only in multiplayer, so people like.
Wait, was it 10,000?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I thought
it was 10,000 in one, and it was only on multiplayer, and there was no way to track it, like you said. So some people, like one of my friends, ended up having to do basically roughly 17,000 because the game didn't track it very well.
I would not have been happy about that.
But yeah, Gears of War.
Gears of War.
Gears of War.
There was a lot of good online games this generation. Though I you know, we've all kind of named online games. I also do want to give credit to college co-op games. And I still think the king of that for me personally, even though they do seem to be trying to
the Halo series, of course.
I was going to say the Mario Party franchise.
Wait, of this generation?
As far as couch co-op goes.
I kind of debated this with a friend a while back. Do you think that the new XCOM game would kind of be considered couch co-op?
No.
You don't think so? Because another friend and I were like strategizing a lot when I played it over at his place.
It's a social game, but that's not couch co-op necessarily. Like, you can literally do that in anything. You can do that in Resident Evil. You can do that in BioShock.
Well, I mean, first you have to play Resident Evil.
Ooh, yeah. Sick burn. Well, I was going to say it's not an XCOM because XCOM is basically just Fire Emblem.
It's Fire Emblem with all the metagame on the side. Like,
it's Fire Emblem, but with guns. It's like...
Well, it's and like the management outside of the matches.
It's like M-rated
Fire Emblem, but engaging.
I mean, it's...
Wait, how is it that more or less engaging?
The difference is because in XCOM, you can name your characters. So you can have Timothy Dalton run to his death.
No, fuck you, Timothy. I honestly haven't even played Fire Emblem. I just wanted to get.
No, it's basically almost exactly just Fire Emblem with a little bit of the unit management and stuff like that. But even then, Fire Emblem still has that to some different degree. They just do it in a different way. It's pretty much just Fire Emblem for mature players, people who are too cool for Nintendo consoles but still want Fire Emblem. It's Fire Emblem.
To be fair,
in the U.S., it was your only option for that kind of game for a while.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a great game.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
The first
one
was on the PC, and I think 1993.
It was so fun. It's so good. I downloaded it again. I'm gonna play it here in a bit.
Okay. But yeah.
I never did my favorite multiplayer games. Fine.
You don't have one. You're not even a person.
You don't play video games.
Podcast over. See you next week.
I have two that I consider my favorite.
Okay.
Doesn't count then. First, you have to have one favorite.
Shut up. The first one is Borderlands 2.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
It's a great game to play with friends. My friend Aaron and I, there was this one point we were like storming the Hyperion base and there was this force field and Claptrap went through, so I thought, okay, it's not gonna be like an actual like force field that kills you, it just like blocks you off. So I walk into it, I immediately die.
Justin, I wish you died in real life.
Okay, hush. What's
then
number two?
The other one, Mass Effect 3.
Really?
Yeah, the multiplayer is a lot better than I thought it was, and I
yeah,
find myself
isn't
like
it basically
playing out friends a lot
mode?
More than.
Yeah, isn't it basically Gears of War but with Mass Effect skin?
Yeah, basically it's Gears of War except not infuriating.
Yeah. That too.
Having played, like, as someone who thinks Mass Effect 3 is one of the best games of all time, I kind of liked the multiplayer, but I didn't play it past finishing up the campaign. Like, once I'd finished the game, I was all like, alright, fuck yes, Mass Effect.
I play it, regardless of how it affects my campaign, just because it's that fun. I like the different classes.
Yeah, I was going to say, I still have a lot of friends who, even now, have long past beat the game and didn't think the game was that great, but still play the multiplayer because they thought it was that good.
Yeah, like there's this Turian class that's basically Iron Man. It's like he's in armor, he's got like jetpacks and everything, and he does like this ground pound.
Makes sense.
Probably everyone's wet dream was Garrus.
Huh?
Iron Man Garrus sounds like everyone's wet dream.
Does he have a sarcastic quip button?
No, it doesn't. Sadly,
and how is it like Iron Man in any way?
Sadly, he doesn't have like an alcoholism button. But
okay, we're moving on. We're going to start wrapping since we're on some type of tangent.
Crackdown 2 is also a great multiplayer game, just saying.
Yes, there's a ton of great multiplayer games out there.
Counter-Strike is amazing.
No one likes Counter-Strike.
I like
shooters, third-person shooters, platformers, party games, racers, fighters.
Batman Arkham Origins, best multiplayer of 2013.
What?
I don't even know if anybody actually played that.
Oh, I heard it was pretty good, though.
No, you shut up. It was made by the dudes who did Brink, if that tells you anything.
Oh, I like Brink, was pretty conceptually. Good.
Yeah, I heard Brink was okay.
Did you
play
Brink, Dan?
I guess more recently.
I bought it on release day.
Okay.
Kind of going back to the co-op element, next week's podcast will be about 14 Green Fighting Machines as we talk Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh,
the new movie.
About this week. Jolly Green Giant, four times
the
old.
Wait, there's only one of them, so far as I know.
There's Hulk and the Agents of Smash.
The green one, the red one, the blue one, and the other green one.
Yeah, yep. We're going to talk about Hulk, She-Hulk, Gamora, Drax.
Well, you were pretty good on the green until Drax.
Drax is green. He's just got, like, red tattoos.
He's just green except only gray.
The green alien that Kirk has sex with in Star Trek. The Wicked Witch.
Yoda.
The Green Power Ranger.
Why these people are
some guy wearing a green shirt. That's what we've got to at this point.
Why did they we'll be back.
Green Eggs and Ham! Forgot that one.
We'll be back next week to talk Ninja Turtles.
Green Acres.
So, for Justin, James, Dan, and myself, this has been Nerds on the Rocks episode 181.
The dude on the green bean can.